Welcome to worship at Cramond Kirk. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. A delight to welcome you to church this morning. If this is the first time you have been in a while, lovely to see you. Thank you for coming. You've made my day. I hope that together we can make your day as well. The order of service, those of you who are familiar with what we call morning prayers, the order of service follows what it has effectively been our morning prayers, with the addition of some lovely music from Simon. The announcement you'll find online, but as well as the church being open again for morning services, we are continuing with the online services, the daily devotions at 8 o'clock each morning, and the Sunday service, as well as the pause for thought on a Thursday evening. The church continues to be open for private prayer on Wednesday evenings between 5 and 7. And those of you who would like to join the Bible study discussion group, it meets this Wednesday again online at 7:15. And if you would like to take part, then be in touch with the church office and Louise will give you the Zoom connection to make. A family in the community, this is through Cramond Primary School, a family in the community would value a baby's cot. If any parent or grandparent has a cot they no longer require, then let the office know, our church office know, and we'll be glad to pass it on. Last but by no means least, an absolute delight to welcome to Cramond this morning my colleague and friend, the Reverend Ian Gilmer. Those of you who are familiar with the Edinburgh church scene will know that Ian's ministry has been spent in Edinburgh at Drylaw, at South Leith, and then at St Andrews and St George's West. And following his retirement from St Andrews and St George's West, Ian has been serving the Church of Scotland in Sri Lanka at the Scots Kirk in Sri Lanka, where he remains, I think, the interim moderator. How can you be the interim moderator living in Trinity? Well, that's the wonderful world of technology nowadays. Ian, an absolute delight to welcome you to Cramond on your first Sunday as our new associate minister. As you'll doubtless pick up, Ian and I have been friends for 40-something years, longer than the pair of us can now remember. Absolute delight to welcome you, and we look forward to getting to know you as a congregation, but to your ministry among us. Can you please welcome Ian to Cramond? Let us worship God. Can I invite you to look to the service sheet? And we begin our worship as we say responsively Psalm 17. That means you reply with the bold type. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit.
From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right.
If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped.
I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words.
Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Saviour of those who seek refuge from their adversities, at your right hand. And from the psalm, we turn to this morning's collect, this morning's prayer. We pray together. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ fed the hungry with the bread of his life and the word of his kingdom. Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, Sustain us by your true and living bread, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks to Russell for his very warm welcome. It's my pleasure to be working with you in Crammond, and I look forward to getting to know you all just as soon as possible. Our reading today comes from the 14th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. You should know that the section before our reading is the story of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, being beheaded. We're going to read from verse 13 to verse 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it is already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Thanks to God for the hearing of his word. Amen.
Compassion, a feeling of sorrow or pity for the suffering of another, and a desire to do something to alleviate it. Whatever else is evident from the gospel account of Jesus' ministry, it is evident Jesus was a compassionate man. Think of his response to the woman who grabbed his cloak, or the centurion who asked for help, or the blind beggar who cried out from the roadside. Think of the time a group of men lowered their crippled friend through the roof of the house where he was staying, or the 10 lepers healed while he, Jesus, was on his way to Jerusalem. Remember, too, the wonderful story he told about the Good Samaritan who stopped to help the man who'd been attacked on the Jerusalem-Jericho road, the priest, the Levite who walked past on the other side, and his telling his questioner that if he wanted to inherit eternal life, this is what was expected. This was the standard, and he should go and do likewise. Compassion, a feeling of sorrow or pity for the suffering of another, a desire to do something about it. And as the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 further attests, Jesus was a compassionate man. As we hear about him this morning, following the cruel execution of his cousin John, beheaded by King Herod at the whim of his wife Herodias, Jesus has withdrawn into the desert. Instead of the time of prayer and quiet contemplation he sought, as news of Jesus' whereabouts spread, Matthew reports crowds of people came looking for him, bringing their sick. Despite the grief he was doubtless feeling at the cruel death of his cousin, and at the end of a long day when he and everyone else would be tired, The gospel account is unequivocal. Jesus had compassion for them and healed their sick. Evening approaches. The disciples start to wonder how and where and what people are going to find something to eat in such a remote place. And their fussing gives Jesus the opportunity to demonstrate his compassion in a different way. Taking the loaves and fish given him by a small boy, Jesus gives thanks, breaks the loaves, gives them to the disciples, who give them to the people. And all who ate, were satisfied. Over the years, the biblical scholars have wondered if the loaves and fish were really multiplied. And of course, they could well have been. Because if Jesus had the power to turn water into wine or calm the wind and the waves, there's no reason to think he couldn't also multiply bread and fish. Alternatively, the miracle could well be the miracle of kindness, of sharing, as people started to follow the example of the child who'd given his food to Jesus. They began to share whatever they had brought with one another. So what do you think? Which interpretation do you prefer? Matthew doesn't say. It's enough for him to report everyone ate and was satisfied. And for me, that points to the deeper truth of this remarkable event, the miracle that in Christ's presence, we find healing. We are given strength. Our needs are met. And our deeper hunger for comfort and hope and reassurance and love is satisfied. And it's satisfied not just for this life. St. Paul put it well when writing to the church at Corinth. He said that if our hope in Christ was for this life alone, then we of all people are to be the most pitied. Yet as the empty tomb of Easter dawn promises, our hope in Christ is not for this life alone. For Calvary and its cross was not the end of Jesus' story or of his life. And our earthly death will not be the end of our story or our life either. Love and compassion are, I think, at the heart of all of this. The most profound of all Christian convictions, the love and compassion of God expressed in the life of Jesus. And the faith that as each of us is embraced in God's compassionate love through life, we are also embraced in that same compassionate love through death. Here is the nourishment we require. Here is the reassurance that irrespective of age or circumstance, in Christ all life finds its fulfillment. And here is the hope, the promise at the heart of the Christian faith. A hope and promise beautifully expressed by the Reverend Professor Bill Shaw, whose funeral service I will conduct tomorrow. Bill said, God will not allow what we have been to God's love to be lost. God will not allow what we have been to God's love to be lost. Compassion. A feeling of sorrow or pity for the suffering of another, a desire to do something to alleviate it. And as we hear again about Jesus' compassion, his feeding a great crowd with a few loaves and fish, the miracle is repeated when you realize when we all realize to our joy, Jesus has compassion for us. A few moments of our own reflections while Simon plays, and then Ian will lead us through the remainder of our service.
Before time existed and the universe began its long unfolding, when the earth took shape and life came in splendid profusion, God was. When hungry people flocked to be fed in mind and spirit, when Jesus came among them, sharing food and living a new way of peace, God was. When tomorrow we look back and remember today, may we say, God was and is with us. Let us approach God with confidence. Let us pray together. Living God, more, much more have we to learn of you through love and through worship. Coming to you, Lord of all, for honest assessment is one of the great privileges of being a Christian. Loving God, this morning we place the transcript of our daily lives before you, written on the fabric of our being, praying that you will edit our story with generosity. We are not as our friends think. We are not even as we imagine ourselves to be. Our insight is defective. You alone see the full text, the steady consonants, the active verbs, the grey paragraphs, the pages of shame, and those unfinished chapters. Look upon us with your mercy. Please delete everything that is unloving. Correct all that is crass. Highlight the things worth repeating. Help us to rephrase each unfinished sentence that they may be worthy of you. You alone are capable and can be trusted to deal with the sacred and secret pages of mind and heart. Make us more yours than before, and in being more yours, more truly ourselves. People of God, listen to the good news. There is love. Not our love of God, but God's love for us. So your sins are forgiven, and the transcript of your lives can be completely refreshed today. We give thanks for the accumulated sanity of the Holy Scriptures, through which you feed us even when we feel empty and frightened. We give thanks for that caring community, your church, local and universal, where you are present with encouragement and healing. We give thanks for the renewal in our country of sports like football, for us beginning to return to normal after a lengthy, painful period of disruption. We pause to pray for others now who are heavy on our hearts and in our personal prayers. We pray for the thin-skinned who wear every comment as a thorn and for the tough-hided who are insensitive to the needs around them. We pray for the too generous who can't seem to say no, and the mean-spirited who shut their hearts tightly against compassion. For the anxious who imagine unseen dangers around every corner, and the overconfident who do not think before they leap. For the young who sometimes think they know it all, and for the foolish among their elders who believe that aging automatically bestows wisdom. For the peacemakers who risk themselves for reconciliation, and for the belligerent who put others at risk to attain selfish ends. For those politicians who well understand their ignorance, and for those who are self-deluded enough to see themselves as infallible. For the churches who act as though they have all the answers, and for the churches which are too reticent about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the sick who long for healing, and for some who are so attached to the sympathy they become disabled by it. For the dying who pray that the end will come quickly, and for those who fight for every moment of breath. For the grieving who wonder if their tears will ever stop flowing, and for those whose grief seems banked up like a dam. Lord, we have thought and we have prayed. Help us now to work with you to respond to these needs in the days ahead. In Jesus' strong name we pray, as we say his words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We close our service with a responsive benediction, and I ask you to join in the sections marked in bold. The Lord be with you. Go in the peace of Christ our Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Please be seated. We have a one-way system operating, so can I invite you now slowly, carefully, to make your way out of what we call the tower door. You'll see the sign there, way out. Ian is leading the way. If you would like to make an offering, you'll also find an offering plate at the passageway as you leave. Again, there's hand sanitizer. Please take time to clean your hands before you leave.